Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. PCMC, what does that mean? It means pop culture, man, children. I don't know. That sounds pretty toxic. I don't like anything with man in the title. Hey, listen, before you turn it away, just understand that I made up that title a long time ago.
And you dug too deep in already.
Can't go back. I can't rebrand now. But listen, this is not a podcast just for cisgendered heterosexual men. This is a podcast for everybody who loves pop culture.
I think you're gonna say this is for cisgendered hetero women too.
and transgendered hetero women and transgendered LGBT.
I guess
the T is also there. I already said the T.
Yeah.
It's for everybody is what it's for. It's for anybody with a heart in their soul and
a song in their lips. And
anybody who likes stuff. Do you like stuff?
Yeah.
Do you like to watch stuff and read stuff and it creates a respite from the bullshit of life?
Yeah. Do you like to go walking in the pale moonlight?
Yeah. Were you ever a kid and you got picked on at school and you went home and you felt better because you read a Goosebumps book? Well, welcome.
Yeah.
You've probably been listening already. So, PCMC, I'm here today with my good friend, Mr. Vin Forte.
Yeah. Last we spoke, speaking of not being able to rebrand.
Yeah.
I do wrestle rap.
Yes.
For me, those sparks. But I also do a sports podcast called Oddball with Vin Forte.
Would you like to rebrand that?
I wish I had the gumption to, because a more popular podcast network.
Oh, really?
Recently, I don't know if I told you this, a very popular podcast network recently came out of a podcast called Oddball With, and then the host's names, and it's a sports podcast.
Oh, shit.
And instantly, like, they were like, hey, we got a YouTube channel. YouTube channel is like 5,000 subscribers already. It's like, god damn.
And they do the exact same thing you do.
Kinda, yeah.
At least you have the tacit proof that you were there first.
Oh, yeah, no. I DM'd them and was like, hey, I wasn't like, hey, you should have done your due diligence because you're a huge corporation. Yeah,
but don't you turn around and sue me now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but at this point, just don't be like, hey, this guy's trying to glom onto Arthur.
Right, right. Because I was here first.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. Let me ask you a question. And we're in the full episode, which means we're just talking.
Yeah.
Jimmy Pardo, the host of Never Not Funny.
Yeah.
One of the oldest comedy podcasts around.
Oh, yeah. It's like 2006 or something.
It's almost 20 years, which mm-hmm. is insane. He seems half joking but half serious, angry at Conan O'Brien for doing a podcast.
Yeah. Well,
and he keeps saying, get out of our fucking lane.
Yeah.
How do you feel about such big celebrities that do podcasts?
Well, okay, in the case of Conan specifically, yeah. I'm fine with it.
Right.
Because Conan has been established, I don't want to use the word broadcast, he's not like a newsman, but he's been an interviewer for like 30 years.
Yes.
So if he's pivoting into a new medium to where the interviews are going, then it's like fine.
Right,
like
okay.
He's just being savvy. And now he's got a whole like sort of Team Coco empire around him. Right. So it's like, I'm fine with him doing it.
What if Jay Leno started one?
If Jay Leno started one about cars?
By the way, he like could exist. Cars? I would have no idea.
Yeah, he might. You might have like Jay Leno's audio garage or something. But
or the Ace Network.
You know, the Adam Carolla Network. Or something. But the problem with celebrities doing it is that you got to be committed. It's like anything else. It's like someone who wants to start a... I always say it's like someone who wants to start a website.
Yeah.
Someone who wants to start a radio program. It's like when SiriusXM used to shell out big money. You're like, oh, we got the Oprah Network now, and Oprah's going to do a show for 4 minutes every Sunday. It's like, what? Who's this for?
Right.
Like now, if Oprah came out and was like, I'm doing a show Monday through Friday, you know, 3 hours in the afternoon, and that's going to be my new thing.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story. Then it's like, okay, she's committed. She's doing it.
So if you really respect the medium and are doing it,
yeah, it's
whereas
about,
if
it's
you're
about
just
respect.
trying to extend your portfolio to be like, oh yeah, I'll throw a podcast out there.
Yeah. Cause like there've been tons of like mid-level celebrities who've been like, I'm going to do a podcast now.
Or talk shows that just put the audio out and call it a podcast. Like I think Bill Maher does.
Yeah. Which like, sometimes I like that because it's like, okay, I can listen to it. It's a nice, like, bonus.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, as far as the celebrities go, there have been tons of celebrity, like mid-level celebrities who've been like, I'm going to do a podcast now. And it's usually like some sort of lifestyle, like, here's what I can bring to the table. And then five episodes in, they're like, I guess that was all I could bring to the table.
That was it. I brought everything to the table.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm not that interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm trying to think of a podcast that came out that I genuinely was like, oh, I hate this. Or I hate that this is happening.
Oh, I know. I could tell you one. Lena Dunham.
I did not know she had a podcast.
I don't know if she still does, but she tried at one point.
She did.
And her whole... I've never seen someone so universally like despised.
She sort of imploded to the point where everyone on every side disliked her.
Yeah, because it wasn't just like...
It wasn't just conservatives.
Yeah, it wasn't like conservatives, like all these rich, you know, New York elites. It was like... Because there came a point, I think, in the mid-2010s. Maybe even the early 2010s, where there was a sea change,
yeah,
back to the average man and woman, because there used to be this attitude of, like, especially here in New York, of the hoity-toity, like, liberal elite, and that was like what you should aspire to. Like,
yeah,
oh, this
yeah,
is
yeah,
where I want to get to.
Right,
and then. And that was epitomized by girls. Like, here's a great way of putting it. That was epitomized by Lena Dunham and girls.
Right, right, right.
Then there was a sea change where people saw that and were like, this isn't how it fucking is.
Right.
And you could look to something like Broad City.
Yeah.
As, like, the antidote to something like, or, like, a visual representation of, like, the opposite of girls.
Yeah, that's an interesting
where it's like,
point.
Here's how it really is.
Because it seemed to be so much...
So much messier and honest and, like, self-deprecating.
And girls seem to be either unaware or unwilling to really deal with the privilege of the characters.
Like it whatever was, jokes it was, they were trying to make, they weren't in on.
Right, right. Like, they did refer to the privilege, but also it wasn't...
Yeah, it was always like... Because I watched
the first,
like, two
seasons. Do you remember what her podcast was called?
No, I don't.
The Duncast?
Maybe.
Dunkirk?
Dunkirk.
Welcome to Dunkirk.
It was her and Kurt Metzger. It's just Dunkirk. But it's spelled D-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Because they're canceled.
Vin, this is a full episode of PCMC. What does that mean? Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with the runtime.
Yeah.
It has to do with the segments involved. We do news. We do trailer corners. We do the chill sesh, where we just talk about what we're currently watching, and then we do our current obsessions.
Oh, let's please get to these trailers first.
Well, I got some news for us first.
Okay.
And then we'll get to these trailers. They're three doozies. Three doozy trailers. So this is from The Hollywood Reporter. Barbie becomes the biggest Warner Brothers movie ever.
Ever?
Beating the last Harry Potter movie.
Really?
In global box office.
I know it's a popular movie, but that's kind of surprising.
Greta Gerwig's movie has eclipsed the $1.342 billion gross by Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2, not adjusted for inflation. Okay, so not adjusted for inflation.
Okay.
There's no end to Barbie's magic tricks. On Monday, Greta Gerwig's movie passed the $1.342 million. It's just making money. Hand over fist.
Well, that ensures that we're about to get nine other shittier Barbie movies.
Yes, yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, I just read today. This is something I haven't heard. And we talked about this recently on the podcast. All of the hubbub around the new live action Snow White and how everyone's mad at the girl who's playing Snow White because she's being woke and all that shit. Greta Gerwig wrote the screenplay for this new Snow White.
Wow. Well,
so
maybe a hit.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, it'll be in the vein of Barbie and, you know, it'll make a ton of money. Who knows? But that's pretty successful. She's pretty successful. One of the most successful, I mean, if you're just looking at dollars and cents.
The most successful female director ever.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible stuff. Have you seen Barbie?
I have not. I have not had the time to see Barbie. I do want to see it. It looks incredible.
I've seen it thrice. And if this entices you a little bit more, Bill Maher hated it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he hated it because it's man-hating.
What?
Because that's where he's at in his persona.
But the movie's not about men. It's Barbie.
Well, it's about... It makes fun of a certain kind of man that I guess Bill Maher is.
Right.
And men
like Bill Maher's always been on the wrong side of history of being fun. Like, he hates comic books.
Being fun.
Seriously, like, he's one of these guys that's like, oh, you know, these adults that like comic books.
And right, right. But then he's also like, oh, but you should smoke weed and not get married. And
right.
Like a lot of it's
just, like, he's got his own fucking vices.
I know.
Like, when he's got his own shitty podcast.
He does?
Yeah, Bill Maher's Club Random.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, because it's a video. Random!
Yeah. And it's like,
some young intern was like, you know what we like to say when things are crazy? We say, random! And scream it like that.
And like, for someone who hates goofy fun shit, the set of that podcast,
it's Pee Wee's Playhouse.
It's Pee Wee's Playhouse.
With weed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so our next news story, the great Charles Martinet.
Yeah, I
heard
this.
The voice of Super Mario for the last 27 years. His first Mario game was in one of these ancillary learning games that no one remembers.
Yeah, it was like Mario Teaches Typing. Yeah.
But the big one was 64.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who said, "It's-a me," you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He, I think, in my mind, maybe because of the original TV show and the original movie, I always thought of Mario as having a Brooklyn accent. And he was the one who made it, like, Albano Italian. Kinda. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Captain Lou was like, "Hey, Luigi, let's get some pasta." Hey. Oh my God, it's Cyndi Lauper. People forget that every episode of that show had a guest.
Yeah, Ghostbusters were on.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson, as much as I love him, will do almost anything. By the way, look up his cameo. In his cameo, when I say cameo, like the cameo website.
Service,
yeah. He's in his Ghostbusters outfit in the
photo. He knows how
so
to get the
money. He'll put on the outfit. He's not above it at all. So he's retiring, and they're being real weird about it because they're not saying why. They're not saying who's replacing him. Supposedly, in the trailer for the new Mario game, Mario Brothers Wonder,
yeah, the new
it's
guys
not
already,
him.
Which I think that I do like that. They already, like, you heard, like, they already had it.
Yeah.
So it's like, we've heard it.
Right.
We didn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
And now they've passed the baton and they're just like, oh, yeah, no, we already did it. So there's no, like, gap of, like, who they're going to get. Or is it going to sound
but
like
did
Mario?
You know,
like,
I didn't even notice it. It sounds like he's just doing the Martinet voice.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody noticed.
Right. So why is this happening? Is it something he wants? Is it something...
I heard it's something he wants because it's hard. He's an older gentleman now, and it's harder to do that voice.
Okay. Because you know what they're saying? He's still working at Nintendo. He's a Mario ambassador now.
Right, which, whatever.
Whatever the fuck, like, that means. He goes to Comic-Cons, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe they...
Hey, if they could keep the guy on the payroll, I'm for it.
Exactly. Like, if they're paying him, like, a nice wage...
Yeah.
To just be like, you're the Mario ambassador. You're going to be the... You're going to shut your mouth.
Yeah.
And you'll be the Mario ambassador.
By the way, I didn't know this until I just read it. Also the voice of Luigi, Waluigi. He's all of them.
Yeah.
He's also the voice of the Mario Brothers' father in the movie that came out recently.
Yes.
And also Jumpman, the little Jumpman Easter egg in that movie.
Because why get him for the movie?
No. Of course not.
Well, let's rank the Mario voices. So, Charles Martinet's one.
Yeah.
I think Bob Hoskins is two.
Right. For a guy who's actually English,
he
incredible
nailed.
Voice.
Lou Albano 3.
Yeah.
And then a distant fourth is Chris Pratt.
The problem with Chris Pratt is he's also trying to do like a Brooklynese, but he's not consistent with it.
No. The problem is he's Chris Pratt.
Well, you know, it's funny because I enjoy that movie, but I always think it's funny when they pay big stars to be in animated things because you're basically just paying for their name.
Yeah.
Because you could, any movie that has, like, Justin Timberlake is boo-boo.
Oh, yeah. Well.
In Yogi Bear. You could have hired any of these real guys, like, fucking...
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone right now who's, like, the legal voice of boo-boo or whatever.
Right, exactly. You could hire any of these guys that do all of those voice stuff. You could hire fucking...
John DiMaggio or
what's his name?
Maurice LaMarche.
Who's the one who's Pinky? Paulson?
Rob Paulson. Yeah.
Any of those guys would do a better job, but no one knows their names. So you need Justin Timberlake as Boo Boo.
Well, good things come in bears.
You bet they do. That was a real tagline.
Yeah, well, that was the poster. And the very ill-conceived poster of the close-up of Yogi Bear, like, directly behind Boo Boo.
Good things come in bears.
Yeah.
Phrasing. So, yeah, I always will have a warm spot in my heart for Captain Lou.
Yeah. He's a maniac, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He never Benoit'd anyone, like...
Yeah. Is he like, what do we know about him? Is he a horrible guy or is he just...
I don't know. I think
I've never heard anything about him, showing up at some college. And
I feel like he's probably one of these guys like a big sweetheart.
Is he dead? I think he's dead.
I think he's dead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Yeah. The one thing I never got was the rubber bands.
Hey, man, like in wrestling, anything you can face, do, right?
Like...
Anything you can do to stand out in the crowd. That was back when you could be... And I don't know anything about wrestling, but that was back when you could be like just a big fella and you're a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, don't need to really work out, be in shape.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just call you giant haystacks and you can go sit on someone.
You can have a big belly. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Those are the days. All right. Let's talk about these horrendous trailers.
Yeah.
I'll tip my hat. I kind of picked bad trailers.
Let's talk about this Dan Aykroyd one first.
Please.
What was it called? Zombie?
Zombie Town, based on R.L. Stine.
Well, that was the big reveal to me, because the trailer, like, the video just, like, the headline of the video just says Zombie Town.
Yeah.
But then when they show, like, at the very end of the trailer, it's like, Zombie Town, and on the top it says R.L. Stine Zombie Town. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, R.L. Stine's having a new moment.
I guess so.
Because you had, a couple years ago, he had a Disney Plus show, right? And then he had a...
He had the two Goosebumps movies.
Yes. And more recent than that, though, you had the Fear Street movies, which I thought were very good. So this movie looks like a made-for-sci-fi movie. It looks very, very, very cheap.
Chevy Chase is in it.
Yeah. Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd are in it. Like... From this spies feels, like us.
This feels like a straight-to-Netflix affair.
But even... I'd say no, because even now, straight-to-Netflix...
Could be great.
Yeah, sometimes they have good production value. This looks so cheap.
It is straight-to-DVD. This is like you go to Block... This is a Blockbuster exclusive.
Yeah, this is like... What's that company that makes like knockoffs?
The Asylum?
Yeah, it's like
Asylum
that.
Asylum movie?
Yeah.
There's one guy in this trailer... They do say his real acting name at the end. I forgot it. But, like, the whole trailer, I'm like, did they get George Clooney for this?
Oh, like a yeah.
Fake George Clooney?
Oh, yeah, that fake guy. Yeah, he looked familiar to me, but I didn't know from what.
Yeah.
So, what is the plot, as far as you can understand from
it's
the...
It's like, there's a movie that you shouldn't play in theaters because the people who watch it turn into zombies.
Yes.
I feel like this is an idea that's been done, but I can't put my finger on, like, what.
Well, the Italian movie Demons is a little bit like it.
Yeah.
They come out of the screen. Dan Aykroyd is the director of the movie.
Oh, really?
Not the director of this movie, but he plays the director in the movie. Yeah, yeah. He's the horror movie director.
I want to know, was this something that, like, R.L. Stine wrote as a book, like, 30 years ago, and they just adapted? Or is this something that, like, because my perception of it before I saw at the end the R.L. Stine's involvement was that this is a total Dan Aykroyd passion project, that, like, this was his original Ghostbusters 3, and, like, he's like, fuck it, we'll do it live. Like, I'll do my own thing.
That's a great question.
Because it feels like a Dan Aykroyd.
It feels like something he'd be into.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, this guy directed Nothing But Trouble, which is itself a very bizarre, surreal movie.
Well, here's something that maybe we could do a whole episode on one day. I don't remember the title of it. Do you remember the Dan Aykroyd, like, conspiracy theory show?
No, I don't remember. I remember his sitcom, Soul Man, where he played a priest or something.
Oh, yes. Well, that was, Soul Man was a spinoff of Home Improvement.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that priest character was on Home Improvement and then got a spinoff called Soul Man.
You bet he did.
But I'm looking this up right now because I'm not crazy. Like, I definitely... Dan Aykroyd.
By the way, I've learned that R.L. Stine a lot of his shit is ghostwritten. So Zombie Town might not even really be from the mind of...
You think they're just using...
Well, I know. I mean, it would probably... There's probably a book called Zombie Town, Arlstein Zombie Town. But right. Who knows if that... Oh, and Chevy Chase plays like some mystical man. His name is Mesmerian? Mesmerian?
Mesmerian?
Maid Marian? It's directed by Peter Lepinitis. What did you do, Peter Lepinitis? Let's look at your...
I think I had Lepinitis once.
Sushi. Did that clear up? Or?
Yeah, no, I got the Aykroyds from it.
He directed Gnome Alone.
Gnome Alone?
Yeah. The Nut Job. Bolts and Blips.
The fuck are these titles?
Bolts and Blip Battle for the Lunar League.
It got a sequel.
You bet. Veggie Tales. Only two episodes. He was an animator. Oh, he's mostly an animator. So none of this is... I don't know how this happened.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
And that's all the information I have. That's all the information you could get on a... Oh, wait. Hold on. There's one, two... Is there more than two? There are at least two kids in the hole in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Bruce McCullough is in the trailer.
And Scott Thompson.
Scott Thompson's in it.
Not in the trailer, but he's here on IMDb.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess this was made in Canada. And it says R.L. Stein as self.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I guess he's in it.
And then a bunch of kids, I don't know. Bunch of young people. That, you know, this movie looks terrible. Yeah, a lot of
precocious children.
They're kids, whatever. They're kids in a movie.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
The show was called Dan Aykroyd's Out There on the Sci-Fi Channel in 2002.
Was the apostrophe S meaning is? Like Dan Aykroyd is out there?
Yeah. Oh, you bet.
Rather than Dan Aykroyd's out there.
Trying to look up because I wish there was
so crystal head aliens and ghosts.
Yeah, it was a lot of just him like sitting at a table, yeah, like interviewing people about Bat
That's
Boys.
So weird, you know. Like, I'll be 20. I don't know why I said 20. I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't know why I lost 80% there.
I'll be 20% honest.
I'll be 100% honest with you. As much as I love spooky stuff, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in vampires. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything. But I like spiritualism just as an aesthetic, as an idea.
Right, it's interesting.
But he believes in it. Like, the spiritualism movement started with the Fox sisters, which were these sisters that said they can speak to ghosts. They were mediums. But they were actually would be, they would, like, crack their toes. They would go on stage to do this, and they would, like, communicate to each other. And basically, like... This is what started the spiritualism movement. And yeah. I saw Dan Aykroyd somewhere talking about the Fox sisters, and it's like, but Dan, we know.
Yeah, we know they're
bullshit. For historical fact. I mean, one of them said I faked it.
Yeah.
So why are you still talking about them? Like, we haven't. I feel the same way about the people that The Conjuring's about. Like, these are con artists. We know that these are con artists. Why is there a film series about them like they're real people?
Yeah. By the way, I just looked up to see if there was any footage of that Dan Aykroyd series.
Yeah.
None on YouTube.
Well, that's because they don't want you to see it.
They don't want you. Exactly. They don't want you to know.
They don't want you to know the truth. So I'm not going to see this. This looks like garbage. So our next trailer, I believe it's called Expendables 4. Expend 4 Bulls. They did the
it's
A
rated
as
R
a four.
This time.
That is the trailer that you and I watched. That is all they're hanging their hat on.
Yeah, they're like, you want, because it's all these pull quotes that they pop up on screen where it's like, we want blood and guts.
Yeah,
like,
and it's
we
like,
want nudity.
Quoted from some asshole's Twitter.
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not like real people at all. Or it's real people, but it's not like critics or anybody.
Yeah, they're just like, where's the guns?
Like, I was like, okay, I got to look up this series. Has this series not been R?
No, it's been PG-13.
Well, no, one was R, two was R, three was PG-13.
Right.
So there was just one that's PG-13. And now they're like, well, we're back R, baby. Fuck off.
Are you sure there all are? Because there might have been, like, you know, unrated cuts.
Oh, I'm not sure. Well, from what I don't remember.
Because I remember seeing the first. Okay, because I remember seeing the first Expendables, and there was a big hullabaloo about, like, oh, they didn't go as far as they could have because it was, like, PG-13.
I saw the first Expendables with Emilio, and we were bored. Because
I think I went with you guys.
Okay, yes, yes. I'm sorry. I do remember that.
Because I think Joe Montanino was there, too.
Maybe. I just remember being so bored. Because I don't know if people remember, yeah. That first one took itself seriously.
Yes. It took itself way too seriously. One of the weird hallmarks of the Expendable movies has been, okay, there's the people you want to see, like Stallone and, like,
yeah,
you know, Jet Li and stuff. But then it's like, oh, yeah, Kelsey Grammer. It's like, what?
They're at the bottom of the barrel. The big one for this movie is an Andy Garcia.
Yeah, like, is Andy Garcia a big action star?
Is he, like, I don't, in the last couple ones, you know, they would, like, they would have guest stars like Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. Chuck Norris was in one of them. Now we're down to Andy Garcia. What is it? I'm sure he did some bullshit action movie in the 80s, but do you think of Andy Garcia as an action star?
Or 50 Cent.
Has he been in all of them, or is he a new...
I don't know. I think I saw the first two Expendables and did not see three.
So you saw two. I didn't even see...
I think I saw, like, two. Half of two, to be fair. I saw it, like, on cable. The one is the only one I saw in theaters. And I was pretty bored by it, and also shocked at how bad, and this is not just with the Expendables. This is something around that time that was a big bugaboo in action movies.
Uh-huh.
The bad fake blood.
Oh, yes. So bad.
Where, like, it... I don't know. It's hard to even describe, like... I've never seen blood where you can tell immediately that it's fake.
It just looks like Alex Mack, Nickelodeon's Alex Mack. It's a Capri Sun commercial.
Yeah, it's Capri Sun blood.
It just immediately strikes you as... It's hard to do, I think. I don't know. They made
uncanny blood.
I'm going to use a term that I don't know what it really means, but I see them use it a lot on VFX artists react.
Yeah.
I believe real blood has subsurface scattering where light goes into the surface and they're
right. So it would never look like the fake.
It would never look like one glossy.
Yeah.
By the way, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, but, like, you're right, because in the Expendables, someone would bleed, and it would be, like, CGI glossy
It's just
blood.
Cheap. It's cheap, because we are at this point, or we've been at this point for a while, actually, where cheap CGI is easier than cheap practical.
Right.
Practical, you gotta build a rig, you gotta, like, you know, it could be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, just throw blood in, and it's bad in action, but it's really bad in horror. Mm. Nothing's worse than a horror movie that has the CGI blood.
Oh, especially when, like, it's not even in the same frame as the scene. Where, like, so there's, like, a blood squirting.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, this isn't going to translate on podcast, but, like, the screen is here, uh-huh. And the blood is, like, over here in the front.
Yeah.
Like, shooting in, almost, like, in front of the scene.
Yeah, because it's just not, it doesn't feel like it's in the light that's existing in that space at all. Yeah, I do remember that. I remember a very long meandering scene with Mickey Rourke, like, talking about, like, someone died or something. Like
yeah, he was
really,
like, a special
long
guest
monologue
in that first movie.
Super long monologue that's like...
But he was... Yeah, oh, yes. I remember it because I remember distinctly thinking, this story he's telling, I want to see this movie... like, as opposed to the movie I'm actually watching right now.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about, like, something way more interesting.
I did hear a funny behind-the-scenes thing where apparently Mickey Rourke was, like, went up to the director Sylvester Stallone and was like, hey, this is a big monologue. Can I have 2-3 hours to rehearse it? And Sly was like, you got 15 minutes. And he's like, all right, brother, I got it. That's what we got. Yeah. By the way, Megan Fox is in this new one.
Yeah, noted action star Megan Fox.
Is she, like, over?
Is she back?
I was going to say, is she over? But I guess maybe she's been over. I don't know. Like, when I saw her in the trailer, I was like, oh, weird. And then I was like, well, I actually haven't seen her in stuff lately.
I don't know what her deal is.
I don't think she's bad, by the way. I think she was underused and misused And I think her attractiveness got in the way. Yeah, she's a for sure. But I think she was good in Jennifer's Body. I think she was funny on New Girl. I think she was misused, and you know, she sort of like is much like the explosion. She's put into that Michael Bay aesthetic,
right? Because she had the Michael Bay films. Then he would put the camera
right up her fucking taint.
Yeah.
The camera was up her taint.
Yeah. but then like Michael Bay like tried to get her blacklisted or something. And then she was
Spielberg got mad at her or something. She said something about Nazis or whatever, and Spielberg was upset about it. Cause he produced those Transformer movies.
And then she was in that. The fuck was that? Jethro Tull? What was that cowboy movie?
Jonah Hex. Jethro Tull. She was in CCR. And let me see. Well, let me look her up. Let's see the last thing she did before X-Pens.
Yeah, maybe she did a
podcast. Oh, that would be incredible. Megan Fox. She's only 3 years younger than me, but I look like I'm her grandfather. She is... What was the last thing she was in? Come on. IMDb has made itself more complicated than it needs to be.
I was just going to say, when I was looking up stuff about Dan Aykroyd just now, I went to IMDb, and I'm like, I can't find a goddamn thing.
It's like, you're not... Stop trying to be Facebook. Like, what are you doing?
It's trying to be the IMDb social network, and I don't get it.
Yeah, she's in stuff that I don't like. Johnny and Clyde from this year. Good Morning with a U. So I guess someone died. Big Gold Brick. Taurus. Night Teeth.
Okay.
These are things that came out. These are these secret movies. Think Like a Dog. Whatever.
She's working.
She's burning over a paycheck. I guess New Girl in 2017 and... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 2016. Oh, yeah, like her last real big things. Yeah. So it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what these movies are even anymore. They look like they've gotten more fun than from that first one. So maybe I'll dip back in.
It's rated R.
I know. I heard that. And they also go out of the way to say fuck in the trailer a couple of times. Just so you know. They say your mama's expendable.
They also do this thing that I've noticed a lot of action and suspense trailers do now with the music, where they'll take a licensed song, they'll keep repeating like the chorus, then it'll like fade into like a like actual musical score.
Yes.
Where they use, in this one, they use Red Hot Chili Peppers' Can't Stop.
So you keep
hearing Can't Stop.
Yes.
And then it's like Can't Stop.
Yeah, they do that a lot now. Remember when the Quantum Mania trailer used Yellow Brick Road from Elton John, but then it went into the score.
That's a big thing now.
Hollywood has perfected trailer making to all of our detriment.
Because the trailers are like better than the movies.
Yeah, the trailers are tighter than the movies, and there's more artistry involved.
Oh yeah,
and you watch them and go, "Oh, this is gonna be great," and then they're not for the most part.
No.
So the third trailer, it's just a little teaser trailer. It's for Good Burger 2, and I'm kind of putting you on because I've actually never seen the first Good Burger.
Have you never seen the first Good Burger?
You know why? Because I was like 15. Like
You were a little too old at the time, and now you have no reference for the original.
And I was too young to just watch it. Like, now I watch any bullshit. So I was too young to just be like, whatever, I'll throw it on. And too old. I probably was like, my friend's little brother wants to see that. Yeah. Like, I'm cooler than that. I'm going to go listen to Howard Stern or whatever the fuck I was doing. I'm going to go watch Arliss on...
I'm going to watch Arliss. 15-year-olds, I'm going to watch Arliss. I got to see what big sports deal he's going to cut this week.
I did not watch it, but what are your experiences with
Big Burger? I love it. I unabashedly love it. I think
It's still good?
It's still good. I've watched it twice in the past couple years with different friends. We should watch it one day and then review it, because
I'd love to see it now.
It's great. It's full of like little jokes. Like, I don't even want to spoil anything.
Okay.
Like, it's just a good, it knows what it is. It's like very self-aware. Okay. Abe Vigoda's in it.
That's fun.
Abe Vigoda plays an old man who works at Good Burger.
Is what's his face the guy who was into feet, children's feet involved in that?
Yeah, Dan Schneider's in it. As the boss of Good Burger.
Did he direct it or anything?
I think he might have directed it.
Now I gotta look it up.
It's definitely a Dan Schneider
joint.
Dan Schneider joint. He's like Spike Lee. He's
yeah.
It's all part of the Schneider's Bakery family.
Good Burger, 1997.
Yep, I saw it in the theater.
My word.
It's got a musical montage. No, it's
directed by Brian Robbins.
Okay.
But it's, Dan Schneider created the character, so he must have created the sketch.
Yeah.
It was a sketch on all that.
But yeah, I saw it in the theater. I loved it. It was very silly.
Sinbad's in it.
Sinbad, oh, you bet he's in it.
Monique.
Sinbad's great in it. I didn't realize Monique was in it.
I'm just looking at the original cast. Shaq?
Yes, Shaq has a cameo in it where they got to deliver a good George burger Clinton? To Shaq. I was just about to say, not only is George Clinton in it, he's part of a musical montage in an insane asylum.
How about this for serendipity or synergy? Robert Wool, Arliss himself,
Robert
is in
Wool
it.
Is in it.
He gets plays a good angry burger. Customer.
You bet he does.
So I remember the sketches from all that. It would be the Kel's character was like a dumb kid who would be the kid at the counter,
right.
And a grumpy grown up would go in and order something, and he'd fuck up the order,
right.
That was the whole sketch.
Yes.
So what does the movie do?
So let's break down Good Burger. I think we have to do an episode on Good Burger now. But basically, and this is actually a pretty good, like, simple idea for a movie. So Keenan plays a character who, in the opening of the movie, he's about to leave school for the summer. It's the last day of class.
Okay. And he's Sinbad's the straight
his
man,
teacher.
Right?
He's the straight man.
Okay.
Sinbad's his teacher. And Keenan has his parents' car, the brand new car. His parents are away for the summer,
yeah.
and he doesn't have his driver's license.
Okay.
So he accidentally hits his teacher's car driving around, totals it, has to pay for it.
Okay.
Doesn't want his parents to find out. So now he's got to get a job at Good Burger to make up the money to pay for the car. So now he's working at Good Burger.
Okay.
Now here's where the real plot comes in.
All right.
A rival burger place called Mondo Burger opens across the street.
All right.
That's like this comically gigantic, they make like these comically gigantic burgers that by the end of the movie, spoiler alert, you find out are pumped with steroids.
Okay. Steroids is a real buzzword in the 90s.
Steroids is a real buzzword. But like this place, Mondo Burger, is like they're treating it like it's like a nightclub, like it's the cool fucking place in town to go, and they're just putting Good Burger out of business,
right?
But then,
despite that they're both corporations, one store matters.
Yeah,
okay.
But then, like, so Good Burger is going out of business, but then Ed brings to work like he's sitting down when they're having a conversation.
Ed is Kel.
Ed is Kel.
Okay,
and Kel's character. Has this secret sauce that he makes.
Okay.
And he accidentally gets some on Keenan, and Keenan's like, wait a minute, this is actually pretty good. So now they have a secret sauce that they now put on the burgers.
Uh-huh.
And that brings more people back to Good
Burger.
Does
this movie have gross out stuff in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
Okay.
It's like a little gross out here, but like
there's
nothing...
no special sauce in some child's feet.
No.
at the behest of Dan Schneider.
No. But then, like, so they're back. But then, like, there's interplay between, like, Keen's character falls in love with someone.
Who is Abe Vigoda in this mix?
Abe Vigoda just plays an old man who works at Good Burger.
So the joke is old man with a young person's job.
Old man with a young person's job.
I'm for that.
Yeah.
If you kids don't know,
Carmen Electra has a cameo in it. Like, they try and get this because Mondo Burger
sounds so 90s. Oh my
god. Oh yeah. Because Mondo. This is why I love it. Like Mondo Burger. Finds out about the secret sauce, so they try and infiltrate Good Burger to get the sauce recipe.
Sure, right.
So they send Carmen Electra to go on a date with Kel to, like, seduce him into, like, oh, tell me your secret to the secret sauce.
Okay.
And they end up going to mini golf, and he shoots a mini golf at her face, and she gets incapacitated. It's a whole big thing. Then they frame Keen and Kel.
At some point, they dress up like ladies, don't they?
No. Yes, they do. Near the end. Yes, they do dress up as ladies. When they try and infiltrate Mondo Burger.
In the 80s and 90s, when you had a wacky comedy, you needed some point where the men dress up like ladies. How do you feel about Keenan?
I used to not like him, and now I respect him. It's sort of like, he's put in that he's like the John Cena of comedy. Like, okay. People didn't like him. Like, people liked him, then there was a point where people, like, rebelled against him, and now people are like, oh, he's an old stalwart.
I mean, he's had a comedy career like no one ever has.
Yeah, between, like, all that, and then Kean and Kel. Like, he was a kid star before.
He's been on SNL for a long time. So, how are you, what are your feelings about Good Burger 2?
I'm sure I'll see. Is it going, like, right to Paramount Plus?
You bet it is, yeah.
Probably the smart choice. I'm interested in what they, anytime they like decide, oh, 20 years later, we're going to reinvigorate a franchise. I'm curious how it goes.
Right. Cause it's like,
it's not like we're doing it 3 years later, five years later, cause it's a time period. Okay. So you put out a movie 2 to 3 years later, you do a sequel.
Yeah.
But if you wait like 5 to 7 years or 10 years, then it's like, oh, you waited too long. But there comes a point where if you wait even longer, then it becomes a curiosity as to like, well, what are they going to do now?
Right. And it's also like, who is it for? Because it's like your original fans probably, they won't have nostalgia for something that's brand new. So you would want to update the comedy a little bit, but you might also go for the exact same kind of, it's the same thing that happened with Fuller House. Like people tuned in because they loved Full House and they had that nostalgia. And then it's like, oh, I'm watching a kid show. Yeah. This isn't very good.
Yeah.
So it's like, who is this for?
I think they're also banking on, because the one thing that I think we forget, like our generation, is that when we grew up, there are things that we liked and watched for that were made in like the 70s and 80s. Like,
sure, yeah.
Like things that were omnipresent that we just take for granted. Like, here's a great example, Flintstones.
Sure.
Flintstones have just always been around.
Right.
To us. But there was a point where the Flintstones were brand new.
Right, but also, but when we were younger, especially when I was younger, there was a smaller landscape. Like, you had syndication of older stuff. Now, I think there's so much stuff. I think I don't know. But you might be right. They might know Good Burger.
Right, like, they may, because they may have gone viral, or...
Do you think Kel asked Kenan to do this?
I don't know, because it's been like a whole saga. Because
Kenan
No, Kenan does not need
this. He's also in those troll movies, which make bazillions of dollars.
Yeah.
By the way, recently went to a movie, and they played the trailer for like the new Troll 4, whatever the fuck it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this little kid behind me lost his shit. He was like, they're making another troll movie.
They wouldn't make more if people didn't watch them.
I know. The kid did not understand the simple basics of supply and demand. But he was so thrilled. All right, you know what? Let's take a break, and we'll come back with a chill session.
Yeah.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm chilling here with Mr. Vin Forte.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is the chill sesh.
Yeah.
This is the sesh where we chill.
Yeah.
What you been chilling with? What you been watching, reading, playing?
During this chill sesh, this Szechuan, whatever, I have been playing a game called Bomb Rush Cyberfunk.
Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. Funk. What is this?
This is, you can get it on Switch, you can get it on PC. It's coming out September 1st on all the other consoles like PS5 and Xbox, whatever. This is basically a spiritual successor to the Jet Grind Radio games.
Okay.
Which originally came out for Dreamcast and then
I don't
Xbox.
Know those either, to be honest with you.
These were gorgeous looking cel-shaded games where you rollerblade around town, graffitiing everything.
Okay.
And the cops come after you, and you have to beat the cops. And it had this really great, like, cyberpunk soundtrack. But it's one of those cases where they only made two of them and then stopped in, like, 2002. And it's been, and, like, those games were, like, really influential. They looked great. They really captured, like, when people think of the Sega Dreamcast, like, that's one of the first games they think of.
Oh, okay.
Because it just has this such a unique style to it. It looks great. It looks there's no other way to really say it. Like, if you look up Jet Grind Radio and look at screenshots right now, it looks like 1999/2000, like pre-9/11, like 90s hangover. Like, it's very apropos of that time. And just the soundtrack was great. And, like, basically, this game that just came out is indicative of a bigger trend that I have been loving the past couple years of video games, where you have these independent studios who go, hey, I want another, like, Metroid game, or I want another, like, this game.
Yeah.
And if Nintendo won't do it, then some studio who wants to and has the means will be like, well, we'll just make one and not call it, you know,
right.
Metroid.
Right.
Or, like in this case, it's like, we're going to make our own Jet Grind Radio, because Sega won't.
Right. Okay. Where are you playing it?
I'm playing it on the Switch.
How are your feelings?
I love it. I think it's great. Like, it's like, really fun and out there. Like, in the first couple minutes of the game, you get decapitated.
Nice.
But, and you have to, like, get your head back, because for the rest of the game, you get a robot head. And then, like, you're going around town, and it's just, yeah. Like, I would encourage everyone to look up a trailer for it. Like, it looks really, because, like, most of the fun is in the art design and the music.
Well, how's the gameplay, though?
Gameplay is great. It's like a mix of, like, if Tony Hawk was, like, a platformer, that's kind of the best way to describe it. Because you're skating around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could jump on and grind on rails. And as you're grinding past, like, walls and stuff, you could graffiti tag things. Like, a lot of it is, like, graffiti tagging, hitting certain, like, landmarks, fighting, and a lot of, like, fighting with the police. It's very Antifa.
Uh-oh, go woke, go broke.
Yeah.
But why? Because it's, why do you say that?
It's just very, like, because the original games, too, were very, like, the only enemy in the game is police.
Okay.
Like, the police are constantly trying to shut you down. Like, in Jet Grind Radio, in the first couple levels, they just send, like, regular police officers after you. And then, as the levels get harder, it's like, they'll send police of riot gear.
Okay.
Then, like, they'll send, you know, fucking, like, troops parachuting down to, like, try and stop you. Like, they'll send police cars. Like, it's a whole big thing. It has that same kind of, like, system that Grand Theft Auto has, where the more trouble you make, the police come after you.
Oh, okay.
And the levels...
Are there bosses?
Yeah, like, the levels are part of the fun, too, because each level, like, in Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, you basically have five boroughs, almost like New York. Although it's, like, Japanese-style buildings and stuff. And each one is, like, a giant city.
Uh-huh.
So it's like sprawling. You could like grind up rails that will lead you up to the tops of buildings, and you could like grind on the buildings. Yeah. Like, it's a whole big thing. And in the original Jet Grind Radio, it originally came out in Japan, and then when they ported it to America, they added an extra level that was basically like Times Square.
Okay.
And like, that was really fun to see. So like, these games are great. If for some reason like someone out there has not heard of them, like, definitely go watch some videos online, see for yourself. Like, but check it out, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. It's very, very good.
How much is the new game?
The new game is like 30, 40 bucks.
Perfect.
If it's on sale.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I like that kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. And then I also have a gripe.
Oh, let me check the bylaws
at least. Yes.
Gripes are very unchill, but I'll allow it.
Okay.
You've got the mic.
Yeah, so this past month, I've been moving apartments.
Okay.
It's really stressful, and while I'm trying to eat better, the past month I fell off. I'm eating better now.
Okay.
But during that month, long story short, it was a lot of like, I'm already out and I'm tired, let me just grab some fast food.
Sure.
This is directly pointed at McDonald's. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Oh, my goodness.
What, do you think we love your food that much?
Why?
That we're going to pay more money for it? The prices at McDonald's are out of fucking control.
Give me examples.
Do you know how much a hash brown is? A hash brown.
Just a single hash brown?
A single hash brown.
$1.75.
$3.
That's too much.
That's way too much.
What's a like a burger?
Burgers are like vary a little bit from location to location. But I'll tell you this.
Do they still have a dollar menu?
No. They got rid of the dollar menu. No dollar menu.
So fast food, but with casual, with fast casual
pricing.
I'll
tell you this. I went to a McDonald's with my dad. We were driving around, and it was like breakfast time. We were out doing something in the morning. And we're like, yeah, let's get McDonald's. We didn't even get a lot. All we got were two McGriddles, two hash browns.
Which McGriddles are delicious.
They are delicious. So two McGriddles, two hash browns, and one like medium orange juice. How much, why don't you guess how much this meal that would have been like $4.
Yeah. $21.68.
You are way too close. It was like $18.
Wow. Everything, well, not to sound like an old man or like a liberal, but everything's, inflation is just killing us. I went to a diner recently in New York. You know, I mean, America, there are diners all, you know, all down the highways, but it's a big staple of New York. And diners are always the cheaper choice to go out, especially right. If you're getting eggs, like breakfast stuff.
Yeah.
I went to a diner recently and we didn't have any. I mean, we just had like eggs and shit and sodas and it was like $40 and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Now, what they're charging for sodas these days.
Now, I will unbelievable. Say some places, the prices are going back down.
The rent is too damn high. Yeah.
Now, some places are coming back down.
Yeah.
Because during COVID,
thanks,
there's a lot of...
Joe. By the way, I recently got a side note. I have a student. I have crippling student loans. And because of a new plan that Joe and Kamala put in place, I'm actually paying much less.
Oh.
So I say with all sincerity and no irony.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
But going back to the prices, so some of the prices actually have gone down in the past couple of months.
Okay.
Because there was a point where, during COVID especially, like, you couldn't get certain goods delivered on time, or like, there wasn't enough supply and demand, so that threw a lot of stuff off. So right now we're seeing this thing happen where some places are keeping the prices high because they want to be assholes.
Yeah.
But a lot of places are actually lowering the prices. And this is a good example. So while McDonald's is like, screw you, we're keeping our prices high, other places are adjusting.
Okay.
And they're offering like deal boxes and deal bags. Like Wendy's has something called the Biggie Bag right now.
Okay.
Where for $5, you get a double stack burger.
Nice.
A drink, a small fry, and a small nugget.
For $5?
For $5.
That's pretty incredible, actually.
That's a really good deal.
Two sides and a burger and a drink?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
And then Taco Bell's got like this $5 like...
I love Taco Bell. Like, we know, this is
like budget box or whatever.
Incredible. So McDonald's is like out of touch.
McDonald's is getting real out of touch.
I got to tell you though, last Halloween when they brought back the Halloween Pail Happy Meals, I was shocked at how cheap a Happy Meal was. It's less than $5.
That's what I've heard, that like if you get, it's like one of those weird like food hacks that you see on TikTok,
yeah,
where it's like, oh, get the kids meal but just upgrade the side, and it's like
I was shocked at how like I
because it's the same burger.
I wanted to just buy the pail and they're like, no, you can't, and I was like, please, can I? And they're like, no, you gotta do it. And I was like, all right, fine, how much is it? And they were like, $3. And I was like, all right, fuck, all right, fine.
Here's another ding against McDonald's. They charge extra for the sauces now.
By sauces, you mean...
Like, oh, can I get an extra barbecue sauce?
So one you get for free.
I think you get one for free.
Extra is going to be an upcharge.
Then extra, they upcharge you.
The balls.
Who do you think you are?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. My problem with McDonald's currently is that they are not doing an impossible. And I know that they tested it in some markets. Burger King has had success with it. A lot of like the other chains have it. Yeah. Like
White Castle's been doing it.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, I think, just introduced like some impossible meat taco. Like,
and but Wendy's and McDonald's have not done it. Mm-hmm. And come on. I haven't had a Big Mac in a decade.
And they recently like did this thing, McDonald's, where, because this is why I was kind of curious to try. They're like, oh, we revamped our burgers.
Suck a dick. Every I'm about to turn 40. My birthday is Monday from when we're recording. And for a lot of my life, from like 18 to like 30 something, every didn't matter where what day of week it was, didn't matter what other plans I had, if it was my birthday, I was getting McDonald's.
Right.
Even if I was just going through the drive thru and getting it for lunch, and then later I was going somewhere for dinner, fancy schmancy.
Yeah.
And I miss that. As a vegetarian, I miss last time I got McDonald's, like if I'm forced to get McDonald's now, I'll get fries and apple pie.
Right.
You know, a breakfast of champions, if you will. And with McGriddle, because I eat eggs, so I'll just take the sausage off.
Yeah. Now, does it affect you? Because like some people are like, oh, I don't want to even get the sausage on it because like the grease from the sausage fucks you up. No, I know
more strict vegetarians would be like, I don't, you know, I'm not that strict.
Okay.
And I'm certainly not a vegan. Not that I'm against it or anything. Damn, I would love I'm just dreaming now about a Big Mac. Used to love the Big Mac. And I remember feeling grown up when I got it. I went from Happy Meal to Quarter Pounder.
Yeah.
Which Quarter Pounder was just a double Quarter Pounder. Solid.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try a Big Mac. And then Big Mac became my go-to. And I felt like a classy gentleman with a Big Mac. Because it's got that club, that third piece of bread club, which just feels sophisticated.
It does.
And don't tell me, oh, you can make the special sauce at home. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No, I want McDonald's to make it for me, put in a little box, open it, have to remake it, because it all fell apart.
And they're also doing something right now that's like the laziest promotion. They've been doing McDonald's is like the king of lazy promotions lately, because they had those meals where it was like the Saweetie meal.
The head that holds the crown.
like they've been doing these meals for the past like year and a half, where it's like the Travis Scott meal. It's like a meal that like, you know, this person would get, but it's just a normal meal. It's like, oh, what's the Travis Scott meal? It's like, oh, it's a fries, a double cheeseburger, and a Sprite.
So it's not anything particular to the person.
No, it's just like a new bag they have to make. Okay. But now they're doing something that may be even lazier than that.
Okay.
Where you may have seen these commercials where McDonald's has been showing off like when they've been in movies.
I've not seen this.
So they have this commercial running where it's like you see the clip from like Richie Rich where he's got the McDonald's.
Okay.
You see like Loki. There's a scene where like Loki goes to a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And they've been branding their stuff as like you get a Big Mac. It on the packaging it says the Big Mac and then small print on the bottom like as seen in and then shows you all these like
that's kind of
all these movies. But it's still a nothing for, like, you're right. They're not cheap. It's not a special burger. Well,
it smacks of cheapness. It smacks of, like, what do we got in the closet that we could just.
Like, the big addition to it is they have a special sweet and sour sauce.
Okay.
And the sauce on the packet says, as seen in Loki.
So, all right. You know, I never was, when I ate nuggets, I never was a sweet and sour
fan. Yeah, never.
I liked ketchup when I was younger. Actually, when I was younger, I always preferred Burger King nuggets.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could say one, because I don't really remember the Burger King nuggets, because I never got them.
They were very peppery, like black peppery.
Yes. Now their nuggets are just zebra meat.
I don't know. I have no idea what the nuggets are.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Burger King has, over the years, its identity has stayed the same, but its actual product has changed more than any other. Like, Burger King, like, used to taste completely different than it does now.
Yeah, I feel like the Whopper is probably the one thing that still kind of feels the same.
Yeah.
But you're right, like, the fries are different.
Right.
But to go back to the nuggets that they have for a second, a couple of years ago, and they probably still do this, they had a thing where it was, like, 10 nuggets for $1.99. Okay. And it's like, that's when you know the nuggets aren't good.
Yeah. I remember one time I used when I was younger, like teenager, I had a friend who worked at a Wendy's, and I also had friends that worked at a movie theater, so we would go see like previews, because you used to, back when there was film, actual film, you used to have to run it the night before just to see that the film was okay.
Yeah.
So they would just, we would go and we would see all the movies. And he came with, you know, like one of those like clear like garbage bags for recycling.
Yeah.
Full of nuggets.
Oh, wow.
I like at least 300, 400 nuggets. And we all were putting our filthy hands in and eating these nuggets.
Eating it like it's popcorn.
And just, it was sickening. It was sickening. It was one of those things where like, it's so, it sounds so great in theory.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, so many nugget bag.
Oh God, yeah. That's how COVID started. That's that's how that story goes. Geez, gripes. Well, since you turned the chill sesh into a gripe sesh, what am I upset about?
These migrants coming in and
No. If this was The Simpsons, they'd be like a like technical difficulties.
the little dog pulling the wire out of the.
It's funny that I can't think of anything on the spot because I'm all the time annoyed by things. Well, let me tell you what I've been watching. I got back into My Hero Academia.
Okay.
I had watched seasons 1 through 4, and then 5 wasn't out yet. So then 5 came out, and I was like, shit, I don't remember. I remember it, but I also don't remember. Because there's like 900 characters with names and superpowers and backstories. Mm-hmm. So I was like, eventually. And then like season 6 came out, and I was like, I'm not ready. But then like the other day, I was like, damn, I really want to – I love the show. So I spent a good 2 hours watching as many recaps as I could.
Yeah.
Like season 1 to 3 recap, season like, you know, and all these stupid websites will do them. So like, if you watch a few of them, you'll see repeated information, but you'll get the nuance, and it'll spark your memory. So I did that. I put in the work I put in the Sparks notes to Sparks notes or Cliff notes, to get back into shape, and then I started with season 5. I'm about to finish it and start season 6, and god damn, it's good. God damn. Okay. It have you ever watched My Hero Academia?
No.
I could understand not wanting to because it's a superhero thing, but the fact that it's not DC and it's not Marvel.
Yeah.
I've been recently, because you know they talk about superhero fatigue, and I've been recently wondering if it's superhero fatigue
or if it's DC Marvel fatigue.
Right, because I also recently, and I talked about this in our previous episode, I also recently saw Shin Ultraman.
Yeah, that was probably great.
I was like, this is a great superhero movie. Have you seen Shin Ultraman?
No, but I know it's just like people just want something different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Blue Beetle came out, and that was supposed to be like the big kickoff.
Yeah.
To the new like DC.
Oh, is it the new? I thought it was a vestige of the old.
I thought Blue Beetle was like James Gunn's, like, oh, really? I want to do Blue Beetle. And I was like,
I don't know. I really don't know, like, when the official, because they finally put out that Flash movie that was trash.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw clips of it. I saw the clips of the babies getting thrown into the
CGI
microwave.
Babies.
Yeah. And the CGI fucking, what's his face? Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, which is a joke for who, I wonder?
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, with like one person. I also, I've been watching a lot of anime, actually. I watched Chainsaw Man.
Oh, okay.
Chainsaw Man's pretty cool. There's one season of it out, and it's a little controversial, I think, because of how violent it is. But it's pretty cool. It's a dude, like, they live in this weird... Such good world building. He lives in this weird world where there are devils, and there are different kinds of devils that do different things.
Okay.
And devil hunters is a job. And this guy, he's like been homeless and poor his whole life. So he has no like bat. He like lives on the streets and eats rats. And he's got a friend who's like a dog basically, but it's a devil that has a dog with like a chainsaw head.
Yeah.
And then he, in the first episode, like, the pilot, like, dies, and then the dog, like, gives his life to him and, like, becomes part of him. Mm-hmm. So now, when he wants to turn it on, a chainsaw will come out of his head, mm-hmm. and both of his arms will become chainsaws. And
hence he is a chainsaw
man. And then just stupid action. It's just ridiculous.
How
it's sexist.
How many DeviantArt pictures of Chainsaw Man do you think
it's have so been created horny too.
Where it's just three penises instead of chainsaws?
It's sexist as a show, and it's horny as hell. It's such a horny show, and it's like so I'm going to say probably a lot. The main character is very sexist. Like his motivation is to touch boobs because he's never touched boobs before.
Okay.
Although the show at least depicts him as stupid and ridiculous,
right,
and offensive. But it's just wild anime. It's just like what the fuck. And I think both are on Hulu.
Okay,
which is a good place to get anime.
Yeah.
I've been chilling with that for the most part, and. I saw that, speaking of Shin Ultraman, Shin Kamen Rider is actually on Amazon Prime, which is crazy because I felt like I waited a long time for Shin Ultraman.
And then Shin Kamen Rider is just here.
It's just here. It's just it's out. So I want to see that and finish the Shin trilogy.
Ooh.
But yeah. This has been a weird chill sesh. Let's come back with obsessions.
Yeah.
Welcome back to PCMC. Thank you so much for being here, folks. I'm here with Mr. Vin Forte. I'm the host, Mike Buongiorno, if I haven't told you that before. So this is Obsessions. These are the things we're currently obsessed with. Vin, what are you currently obsessed with?
Oh, what am I currently obsessed with? I would say I am currently obsessed with going through the new, I don't know if I mentioned it in the last, well, because we haven't done one of these in a while, so I wouldn't have. IDW is currently doing a new run of Star Trek comics.
Oh, okay.
With that started almost a year ago. It started like last October, like late October.
Who were the characters?
It's basically, they're kind of making it, someone online said it, put it in a good way, where they're like, they're kind of making it like the X-Men. Where you've got, like, the main comic, and then you've got, like, some spin-offs, and they all come together with, like, a main arc.
Okay.
Because it's, like, the main Star Trek line of issues, where it's Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And, like, he's part of a team where it's, like, it's him, it's Beverly Crusher, it's Data, it's Tom Paris. It's like a collection of people and like a couple
from
of
that
people.
Era.
Yeah, from that era.
Is it in canon with the Picard show?
No, comic. It's one of those things where like the comic books are its own universe. All right. Because this takes place like right after Star Trek Nemesis.
Oh, okay.
So this is like just a whole other timeline. Worf is in it because Worf always has to show up.
Sure.
But now Worf has a spinoff series.
Okay.
Where it's like, again, going back to X-Men, it's like his series is like X-Force.
Okay.
Where it's like he leads a team to like do secret missions.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then there's like a whole like Klingon arc going on right now that's like a spinoff. So like they're doing some cool stuff.
That's awesome. And I know you're a big DS9 fan.
Yeah.
So cool. So you're catching up on this stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, they just put out, like, the trade of, like, the first.
What are they doing, like, because there's a lot of Star Trek right now. There's Lower Decks, which I just watched all of. There's
Really?
Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, what do you think of Lower Decks, or is that your obsession?
Well, it's not currently my obsession. It was something I talked about in a couple episodes ago. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really funny and good. I actually really enjoyed Lower Decks more than I thought I would. I guess I expected it to be more of a straight parody.
Right.
But it has a story. And I mean, the reason I watch it is because they did the Lower Decks crossover on Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
And I love Strange New Worlds. And I was like, oh, I got to check out Lower Decks. But yeah, you got Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, Picard. So like, how does how does this comic book stuff like fit in? I know it doesn't fit in canonically, but like in terms of the current state of Star Trek, how do you feel like it fares?
I think it fares very well because I don't think, apparently it's been selling really well too.
Okay.
Because it's just, again, it's, I think they timed it really well.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you have all this positive Star Trek stuff coming out, mm-hmm. and it's like, hey, we're going to reboot the comics. Because for a while, IDW's had the license for a while, and hasn't really done a whole lot with it. Like, yes. They did a bunch of comics that were tied to, like, the movies.
I remember they did a Doctor Who Next Gen crossover.
Yes. Yes. That was okay. But, like, this is them sort of, you know, pulling the whole thing back and being like, let's start fresh.
Okay.
Let's start fresh and not just do this thing where we try and like fit in stories into the universe.
Right.
Let's like get the, I guess they got the okay to be like, let's pick like the time after Next Gen and let's be able to just tell our stories. Like we're going to start here and just like run.
It's a good little period of time that's not that developed, right?
Right.
Lower Decks is really...
Lower Decks is like that same period.
Yeah. Like Riker is captain of...
Of the Titan.
Yeah. That's cool. I might check those out. Very cool. And they're in trades yet?
Yeah, the first one is called God Shock. It's volume one. And it just came out like this past month.
Oh, okay.
And then like... As the fall progresses, like the other ones, I think like volume two is coming out in October.
Okay.
And then the Star Trek Defiant, which is the Worf like mini series, like that's going to come out in trade as well in November.
Okay. Very cool. Are you a Worf fan?
I do. You know what? I was actually talking about this with someone recently. As a Star Trek fan, since I've been a small child, growing up is realizing that the Klingon Worf stuff in Next Gen is actually some of the best episodes. Because as a kid, okay. I would see a Klingon episode and be like, I don't care about this.
Okay.
But when you watch it as an adult, you realize like these are some of the only episodes that have continuity with each other. Because every Worf episode on Next Gen was like... It wasn't wrapped up in a tiny bow at the end, like a normal episode.
Right.
It would be like, the end of the episode would happen, and it would be like, Worf's family has just lost their honor, and, like, he's not allowed back in the Empire. Like, what's he going to do?
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't be continued the direct next episode. You have to wait, like, six episodes for the next Klingon episode, where they would pick up that story thread and, like, continue it. So as a kid, obviously, I'm watching it going like, I don't get this. I don't care. But as an adult, when you're watching it all the way through, you're like, oh, I can't wait till they pick this back up.
That's interesting because we're going to also do an episode. You know, I'm sure you know at home we record as many as we can at a time. I mean, we've got lives here. But we're also going to record an episode about Star Trek V where I think – there's a completely pointless Klingon story in that. Like, really just tacked on. And I really, like, when a Klingon story is bad, it's a lot of someone going,
know? Yeah, it really veers into parody when it's bad.
Yeah, because it's so broad.
Right, and when it's good, it's like giving, it's doing a lot of, like, heavy lifting world building.
Yeah. And when it's bad, it's,
yeah.
Very cool. My current obsession is a video game called Disney Illusion Island.
Oh, is this the one that's like animation style and it's like it's kind of a gameplay wise like a throwback to like the Disney Afternoon games?
Yes. Well, there was a couple of like Illusion title games that this is sort of like a spiritual successor to. It's a platformer. But there's no combat, which I know some people turn off, but it's not a turn off because you just have to avoid things. It makes it more of a puzzle.
Yeah.
So there's no combat, but there's a lot of avoiding things and it's, what do they call it? A Metroidvania kind of thing. Platform, like huge map.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of puzzle solving. You can play as one of the four, you know, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, or Donald. It's that new style. Well, actually, it's kind of its own animation, but it's in line with the new style animation. That's part of the Wonderful World of Mickey and also the new Mickey ride, where it's like, it kind of seems like a throwback toward the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some good humor in it. I actually really enjoyed it. Like, cool animation and just fun gameplay. And like, I played through, I 100'd it, which is something I don't normally do. Mm-hmm. But I was just, it's funny. Like, I can't watch a movie a million times. Like, there are some movies I have watched a million times, but I can't watch like a movie twice in a row.
Yeah.
Or same thing with a show. Like, I know people that can like binge a show and then start again from part one, from episode one. And it's like, to me, I feel like, oh, you just took this journey.
Right.
And now you're going back to, you know, so much more than the characters. But with games, I can, because you get into the rhythm of the game. You know, you got that thing where if you've been playing it for a while, you kind of close your eyes and you can still play it in mm-hmm. your head. And you get that rhythm. And it's just the love of the game. It's like playing a musical instrument.
Yeah.
Not that I would know. So, like, I just played it till I got 100. And then I was like, okay, well, let me do it again on a higher difficulty. So I'm still doing it. And, that you know, when I like a game, I'll play it for months solid.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody with my game consumption, I'm not like a new game every week. I like what I like, although I do try new things, and I'll just play it and play it. Like, I kind of missed it, even though I was waiting for it. The new Bendy and the Ink Machine game is out.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to get that and play it because I love the first one. But yeah, this, it doesn't, you know, it's not like, I know Disney turns people off because there's a lot of bad Disney games. Yeah. But think of the good ones. Think of, you know, your DuckTales and, mm-hmm. you know, the good stuff. It's a really fun game. And it's in that, like, $30, $40.
Yeah.
I play it on Switch. And I don't know if you're like this with Switch. I have to decide before I start playing if I'm going to play it on the TV or play it handheld. Because I can't Switch once I start.
Right.
Because then it just won't feel right to me. And so I play it handheld.
Okay.
And usually I'll listen to a podcast while I'm doing it. But then there are other games where I play it, and I don't know why, what the choice is like initially. There's just something deep in me that's like, okay, when I get a new game, I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a handheld game, or this is gonna be, like, I played Animal Crossing handheld, and I honestly can't even imagine not playing it handheld. It's such a like cozy, casual game.
Right, but then if you play Zelda, like that, I would want to see.
Right, exactly. Screen. Yeah, right. So, yeah, that's my current obsession, and go and play it. Vin, by gum, we did it.
We did it.
Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you give us some plugs? What else are you working on?
You plug the Wrestle Rap of me and Emilio Sparks every Saturday. And
you spell it weird, right?
Wrasslerap, WRASSLERAP.
Okay, that's important to know.
That is important to know.
They spell it silly.
We do spell it silly. I didn't come up with Emilio did. And I also do another podcast called Oddball with Vin Forte. It's about sports. Go check that out. It's I also put the episodes up on YouTube, youtube.com/@oddballpodcast. Yeah. I'm also on Twitch a bunch.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of twitching.
Yeah, Twitch. .tv/MightyVin.
Yeah.
You follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Twitter @MightyVin, and on Instagram @VinForteNYC. Now, on
Twitter, is that like X?
That is X.
Oh, okay. Because I know X. Like, I'm not familiar with this Twitter, you say.
Yes.
But I do know X.
It is X. X. And X going to give it to you.
Oof. So are you sticking with X? Are you jumping off?
No, I'm sticking with X because I'm still holding out hope that
someone else will buy it.
Yeah, eventually he's going to sell it, and he's going to sell it to someone who's like, their first act is going to restate it all back to what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think he ever wanted it, and now that he's got it, I think he's just trying to like make it weird so that someone will come along and be like,
he's Mel Brooks producering it.
He kind of is.
Like, I can make more money with a bad social network than a good social network.
Pretty much.
Okay. We end our episode by saying
go bye-bye.